Up next on the Young Escape Podcast.
But afterwards, I got a lot of hate from certain people, like promoters, guys, other artists. So Q, what is your advice when somebody comes up to you and criticizes your mix in a mean way? I yell back at them like, hey, like, you don't tell me what to do.
Chaz, don't yell like, out loud
on
the mic.
It was a good mix, man. And it's kind of escalated things, and we went to a fist fight for about 15 minutes. We had a 15-minute brawl. Yeah, but what is your advice on that?
I mean, I can't think of a show in the last, since I've ever been mixing, where someone didn't have a comment, you know, good or bad.
What?
Everyone has an opinion, and, you know, and that's what I tell people. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. The only opinions that really hit home for me are the people that have hired me, i.e. David and management and our team, and anyone on our team, you know, knows they're more than welcome to, hey, you know, did you hear this? Or, you know,
but
maybe we could do this or try that. I'm open to those things. When people are just rude, more often than not, my response is, hey, man, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know,
skedaddle.
That's all I got for you. Bye.
So you try to de-escalate the situation, basically.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because, you know, those kind of people, they just, when they get my face, it really makes me mad. How you doing, everybody? Welcome back to the Young Escape Podcast. I am your host, Chaz, and today McKenna and I talked with Quentin Kelly, otherwise known as Q, about how we are met on the road. Q also talked about what it's like on tour with David Crowder, and we also talked about the time I peed my pants in front of one of my rapping inspirations, and much, much more. So make sure you stick around for all that good stuff. But first, I want to give a quick thanks to our sponsors, Nike, Adidas, Google, Gatorade, and Oreos. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast and doing what you do. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Alrighty, McKenna, are you ready to do this thing?
I'm ready, Chaz.
Let's do it.
Alright, so on today's podcast, we have one of our best friends, Quentin Kelly, in the
hey
house.
Yo.
What's up?
Yo.
Round of applause.
Okay, so we call him Q, but only his friends can call him that. But maybe you've seen Q at some of our shows or your favorite festivals that you've been to, because he's a legendary front of house engineer and production manager.
Aww.
With David Crowder, previously with Jordan Felice, and so many more artists that you love. And Q has a reputation in our industry of being at the very best in live sound engineering and producing shows. And he also has a company called Live Your Sound, and it exists to guide a community of engineers, musicians, and artists to their highest sonic potential. And you can check that out from the link in the podcast description. We'll link all that below. And I know this is a long introduction, but I just gotta say, Q has helped us so much with our live show, and me personally, from making sure I've got the right mics for live vocals to giving me performance tips gone just such a long way. And every time we get the chance to have him as our front of house engineer, I literally don't have to worry about a single thing when I'm on stage, because he's just that good.
That's amazing.
Q, how are you today? What's up?
You guys are too kind. I'm great. Yeah, I'm happy to be hanging with you guys.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to talk about, just to hop right into it, we got to talk about how we first met and the whole story about when we were talking until like 3 a.m. on the bus. I think that's like,
gosh.
It was a crazy way we met, really.
I was there with you guys,
right?
We all met at the same time.
We did.
Yeah, it was great. I remember I first saw Q. It was at the first show you guys were playing. And, you know, I walked in and he was just, you know, working the sound and all. And I was like, this guy's amazing.
Right.
Like, it sounds great, you know, and that's how I met him. So I went up and I was like, so my name's Chaz.
Here's the thing with Q actually ended up really saving our butts, because we met Q on a weekend run with Jordan Felice, and it was just like we were on the same bus together, quick weekend run. And the first show we played, we talked about this on the previous podcast, like, we had terrible sound.
Right.
And it was just really hard. And then we got on the bus that night, and Q was just talking about helping us out for the rest of the weekend with doing our sound and helping with our show. And we talked about In and Out. We talked about all of these things, you know, because Q, I remember him saying that he felt like if he could be friends with any one of us, it would be me. But then I told him I didn't like In and Out, and then he was like,
"Game changer."
Yeah, is that game changer. It was it was a deal breaker. But yeah, Q, how do you remember? What was your first impression of us as a band and of Chaz, of course?
What?
Chaz is a whole another conversation, and we'll definitely get into that.
Come on.
I know. I remember the first weekend. I think we did a run. We flew into. We were in the middle. I was with Jordan. We were in the middle of a tour, I think, or either a run of festivals. We were like on a 2-week run, and we stopped to. We stopped to go to the West Coast for a run in Oregon, and I just remember they said we were meeting up with this kid band, and I was like, "Oh no, this." No, this isn't going to be fun.
That sounds terrible.
We're going to have to take care of kids while we're on the road. Like, we're already a week into a tour. Like, we're already super tired. Who are these kids? And and the promoter talked to us. And I remember Joey and I, our tour manager, Joey and I talked to him. He said, "Oh, no, they're great. You're going to love them. All this stuff." And we're just kind of like, yeah, hopefully they're cool. And so I remember we landed, I think, in like Portland, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think pretty sure.
And you guys were on the bus that picked us up. And no, you weren't on the bus. We got on the bus and we put our stuff down. We went to the venue. We met you guys at the venue.
Right.
And we were like, who? And so we didn't know like even the band name. We didn't know who you guys were at all. We just knew they were going to be like these like young teenagers on our bus. And so we saw you guys. We were like, is it them? Is it this other band? Who is it going to be? And finally, they told us it was you guys. So we came, we watched the show. We were like, oh, okay. These guys are pretty good. Okay, well, maybe they're not the worst. Cool.
They're not the worst.
And then
we realized we were the worst.
To meet you guys. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, man, this isn't going to work. And we told the promoter we were going to do the show if you guys were going to be on a bus. And it was a whole thing. No, like, we had a great time. I remember. Can you guys stayed up late? Because I never go to bed when I'm on the road. And we did talk about In and Out and how, you know, how you don't like it. And how I just don't understand how someone can not like In and Out.
I hate it.
You disgust me. I hate it. You disgust me.
But Q, do you remember the next day? So, because it was like a weekend run. And so the first day was like in this cool kind of like, what was it? It was like.
It was like an arena.
Yeah, it was like an arena. So we played that. And then the next day was a festival. So it was like an outdoor thing. And I remember, I don't know if we were playing that day. I think that we might have had the day off, but you guys still were. But we were hanging. And we go into catering and you introduced Chaz and Luke, like, love Andy Mineo.
That's right.
And I remember you knew Andy. And so you were like, hey, I can hook you up. Like, you know, let me introduce you. To Chaz.
I do remember that.
And Luke. And Chaz, Chaz, you got so nervous.
Yeah, bro. I
peed
my pants.
You peed your pants. Yeah. Like, well, you know, front of Andy.
I don't know if Q knows this, but Q, I am an aspiring rapper. I'm sure I've sent you some of my demos at around 3 o'clock in the morning. That's usually when I send my demos out to people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was very nerve-wracking. Because it's like, here's a guy, he's a real rapper, I'm losing my mind.
Well,
and I just peed my pants.
I wasn't there for the rest of it because I got so embarrassed that I just walked away, like, out of the catering tent. So what happened, like, when you peed your pants, like, what was Andy's reaction?
Well, I went up and I tried to shake his hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I peed my pants, so I was, you know, it was kind of awkward. Right? You know?
Right, yeah.
You know? So I decided to leave. And then Q and Luke just started chatting it up.
Yeah, what was Luke's reaction, Q? Like, what was that like?
I think Luke peed his pants too.
But, maybe a little bit.
I remember that conversation of, hey, it'd be cool to meet Andy. And I just remember we talked about it. I was like, well, I kind of know Andy. Like, we can do that. And he was in catering and we went. And funny story with that. It was when I found out that you guys are moving to Nashville.
Right.
Found out in that conversation.
No, but we told you the night before and you didn't remember.
I don't remember that.
And then you ended
up
being really salty.
It was 3 o'clock, so.
That's true. He totally didn't remember it.
Andy.
Yeah, you were kind of upset, though, that you found out through Luke telling Andy that.
Yeah, to find out just in hearsay.
Well, I just want to make one thing clear. I wasn't on this run. A lot of people think I was on this run to help you guys out, you know?
Right.
I was doing something, running merch or something like that. But no, I was just there for the catering.
You
I was
were, there for but the you food. Were, you weren't even on, because we were talking the other day. You ended up pooping on the bus.
Right. Yes. Because I misheard the bus rules.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I saw a toilet and I was like, gotta go. You know.
Yeah. That was really gross.
And also, you know, you guys mentioned you had terrible sound. I know we mentioned this the other day, but I that was me mixing.
Yeah, I know.
Because I heard the sound.
Yeah, Q, do you remember that first day? So the first day when we didn't have you as our sound engineer, Chaz was actually the one mixing. Because we just couldn't
remember. I didn't know who it was.
Well, yeah, because it wasn't me from the very start. I heard it and I was like, this isn't up to par, you know? And so I went back and I was like, hand me the controls. And I got behind that and I started working it. You know, I had the drums up very loud.
Yeah, that was really stupid.
But, you know, that's just how it goes, I guess. Yeah.
Well, man, now you can say that you did that, you know?
Right, yeah, I mixed.
Can't
I mixed
say
the
that.
Underscape.
Right.
Well, hey, Q, so how did you get into the music industry and pursuing being an FOH, front of house, you know? That's the fancy term, right? And a production manager. And what does an FOH and PM do exactly? You got to tell the listeners.
So the front of house side of things... I mean, I mix for the audience. I mean, is the simplest way to put that. Everything that the audience hears during the concert, from vocal instruments to DJ line, whatever it is, I mix all of that for the show. And then on the production manager side, the production managing side of things, a lot of that job happens outside of the actual day. So I call and I do what's called advancing. And I talk to the venues, arenas, PACs, theaters,
right.
churches, outdoor festivals, and we talk about sound systems and speakers and audio consoles and mics and cables and stands and risers and instruments and monitor consoles and in-ear systems and video walls and LED screens and, I mean, lighting. I mean, everything that makes the show happen. As far as a live experience, I'm in charge of that. So I get to do that.
That is amazing.
That is a hard job because, yeah, a lot of people, you know, they come to a show and it starts at 7 o'clock, but you're advancing things months in advance and, you know, you're there the whole day setting up, tearing down, and you're in charge of everyone. I remember when we were on tour with you, like, you were no joke out there, like, way early in the morning setting up and then all the way into the night, like, at 1 o'clock in the morning.
It can easily be a 16 to 18 hour day easily.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, and since you do that, I mean, that's what you do for a living right now during these crazy times in quarantine. Are you still advancing and what are you doing to stay creative?
There is some advancing to do, even though we're not sure what shows we'll be doing and which ones we aren't. We just have to be ready to do them. And so, that's calling rental companies and making sure that we have all of the stuff that we need to do Crowder's show. That's talking to venue representatives to make sure they have everything that we need and we have everything that they need. And aside from that, I mean, I'm sure a lot of my engineer friends are mixing from home. I mean, we're pulling out studio monitors and consoles and we're just, you know, keeping our chops up, making sure that when all of this is over and we can start doing concerts again, that we're ready to put on some great shows.
Well, and you guys are amazing because we know we've been on two tours with Crowder. You weren't there for those ones, but we've known you since then and we know that you've known them for a while. And so what's it like now being able to be the FOH for David Crowder? Because David's a legend and you're a legend. So you guys make like a team of legends. So like, what's that like behind the scenes?
David's awesome. I love working for David. He is anyone who's been to a show knows that David is something else.
And,
it's a lot of fun. He's also one of the realest people that I've ever worked for. Really, really great conversation. And then there's the performance side of what we do and the worship side of what we do. And it's also real. So being able to mix for someone that's able to curate that kind of experience for the audience and the listeners and every night with David is just special for one reason or another.
Right.
And you can connect on with him on so many levels during the show. There's just, I love it because like in one show, I'm going to mix country. I'm going to mix pop. I'm going to mix CCM.
Yeah.
I'm going to even possibly do like a bluegrass song. Like you just never know. And so it's a very diverse show and he's a very diverse person. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been great. It's a lot of, it's that, awesome.
That's amazing.
That's absolutely so fantastic.
Cool. Well, Q, do you have any funny tour stories or just stories in general? Because we hang like all the time that maybe nobody would know about until now. Something that's not out in the public, a funny story that you've had with us.
Oh, man. There are so many different, just any van ride with you guys is awesome.
The worst, right?
The worst.
It's just, it's always an experience between Luke and the things that he does and
it is pretty
just
cool.
All the other things that happened.
Isn't he annoying?
I think he's a cool guy.
You know? No, I think.
Q, what do you
annoying.
Think of Luke? Is he your favorite? I'm sure he is.
No.
I mean, Luke's pretty great. I don't choose favorites. That's how. You know,
right.
We all know I'm Q's favorite.
But again, like out of McKenna and Luke, between those two, like if you had to call if you had somebody that you needed to have your back, you know, they say the 3 a.m. buddy, you know, they say that kind of stuff.
Like a 2 a.m. friend.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I said 3 a.m.
You know,
buddy, but
back.
It's the same thing. Right.
Right.
Would you have McKenna or Luke be your 3 a.m. pal?
I mean, I was lucky enough to have both of you, so I try to keep it that way.
All right, he's staying neutral. I would pick Luke.
Yeah. He just doesn't want to hurt Luke's feelings.
All right.
So, well, maybe. So that's what's happening right now, just in case you're...
I actually have a funny van story with you guys.
You do?
Yeah, remember the time when we were driving? I think we were driving all the way to Michigan or something like that.
Okay.
So we were driving a long way. We were about 5 hours in. And I remember we made a hard break, right?
Right.
Kelly, your dad, was driving. He made a hard break. Mm. And it threw me off so bad because I was already car sick.
Oh, I remember this.
And it threw me off so bad, I just threw up all over the windshield.
Dude, you throw up all the time. We just had we just had Marty from Social Club Misfits on the podcast.
Right.
And Luke actually... he was there when all this happened, but Chaz met Marty.
Yep.
Basically,
mid roller coaster,
throwing up on him.
Yeah,
we were on
a roller coaster, and I threw up on him like multiple times.
Oh
yeah.
No!
Yeah, so that was pretty crazy.
Yeah,
but
so
yeah, I mean, it was a whole situation.
You must just have like a really sensitive stomach.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was like a terrible day. I think you ruined the entire trip.
Wow. All right. Well, let's not even talk. Enough about me.
Okay.
Enough about
all
me.
Right,
let's move
yeah.
on.
All right, Q. So we have a lot of young creatives listening right now. And if you have any, like, what's some encouragement that you would give them as they're trying to pursue a music career or to those trying to pursue a similar path as you with sound engineering and production managing?
For me, I think I would say, I mean, I know there are a lot of people that want to do things in music, and it might be audio, it might be production, you know, lighting, stage managing, any of that. It might be an artist track, or you might even be a musician. I think that right now, especially in the last like several years and maybe ever, I think there's a lot of talent out there that people just aren't aware of. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are times where the industry seems super saturated and that people feel like what they have to offer isn't enough. And so to the creatives, I would just say you won't know what you have until you put it out there.
Mm.
And even if it's not the best thing in the world, the best way to get better is to put it out there and curate your gift with others that want the same things. The only way that I've gotten to where I am is by my first arena mix. was with a band named Stars Go Dim.
Mm.
And Chris Cleveland does that, and he's a really cool dude. And I remember my first mix out there, oh my gosh, it was not great. And I had never mixed in front of that many
people.
It was not. There's a recording somewhere. it was not great. You could hear things. I don't know if you wanted to hear those things, but you could hear things. And the only way that I got better was through other engineers coming and hanging out with me. And one of the guys that's been really instrumental in that over the years is Ralph Rivera. You guys have met Ralph.
I love Ralph.
He's working in countries. Yeah.
He's amazing.
And Ralph would hang out with me in front of house and, hey, you know, turn this up, EQ this way. You know, maybe try this. Mm. You know, don't be afraid to go after, you know, don't be afraid to turn it up. Don't be afraid to emphasize things. Don't be afraid, you know, just go for it. And, And so that's what I would say, you know, don't be afraid. Just go for it. And if you crash, you know, you get up, you rebuild, and you keep trying. And eventually, you know, your talent and your gift, it makes room for you where you're supposed to be. Right. And you just walk forward in that.
That's amazing advice.
It's absolutely fantastic. I have a question for Q, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go.
So Q, I am an aspiring rapper, and I go on the road, and I do my rap shows and everything like that. And, you know, at my level, I can't afford an amazing sound engineer like you, you know, to mix my live sound. So I kind of have to either find someone to, like, do it, you know, just like a house guy, or there's just one time I just straight up did it myself. I did my sound myself. Yeah, let me explain. So I was in the middle of the show, right? And I was very frustrated with the sound. Oh. And I was like, come on, like, what's going on here? I started yelling at Bobby, and Bobby started yelling at John.
From the stage in front of the audience?
Yeah, I was like, come on, man, do it right. And he just didn't do it right. So I got off the stage, I ran over to the front of the house, and I started mixing and rapping at the same time the sound.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, and the crowd loved it. They went wild. But
that sounds like a disaster.
Well, it was pretty great. But afterwards, I got a lot of heat from certain people, like promoters, guys, other artists. So, Q, what is your advice when somebody comes up to you and criticizes your mix in a mean way? I yell back at them, like, hey, like, you don't tell me what to do.
Chaz, don't yell
like,
out
loud
on the mic.
It was a good mix, man. And it's kind of escalated things, and we went to a fist fight for about 15 minutes. We had a 15-minute brawl. Yeah. But what is your advice on that?
I mean, I can't think of a show in the last, since I've ever been mixing, where someone didn't have a comment, you know, good or bad.
What?
Everyone has an opinion, and, you know, and that's what I tell people. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. The only opinions that really hit home for me are the people that have hired me, i.e. David and management and our team. And anyone on our team, you know, those, they're more than welcome to, hey, you know, did you hear this? Or, you know,
right,
maybe we could do this or try that. I'm open to those things. When people are just rude, more often than not, my response is, hey, man, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know,
skedaddle.
That's all I got for you. Bye.
So you try to de-escalate the situation, basically.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because, you know, those kind of people, they just, when they get my face,
Chaz has,
really makes me mad.
I guess you could say he has anger issues.
Maybe a little bit.
Just, I'm fired up right now.
It's okay. Just calm down, Chaz. I do have a story. I do remember. So we opened for King and Country at the Kentucky State Fair. And I remember our whole set, Joel of For King and Country was watching side stage. And I noticed when he was watching, he was like really into it. And I noticed he kept looking out into the crowd, like he was side stage, so he kept looking, he kept poking his head out and looking out. And at the end, he came up to me and he was like, I was trying to figure out, like, usually, like, opening bands don't have, like, a good, like, sound, you know what I mean, because it's so terrible. And we were like, this sounds good even from side stage, like. And then we looked out, he said I looked out, and there was Q.
He saw Q.
So that's like, that's how
sense.
Much of a legend Q is, guys.
It makes sense.
He can make, you know what I've even noticed too, anytime, which Q's done our sound a lot, but anytime Q has done our sound, it even sounds good on the video camera. Like, iPhone audio is terrible. Like, you see people post videos of your concert and you're like, man, the audio sounds pretty bad. But anytime Q's doing it, and when we were on tour with Jordan Fleece this past spring, it felt like every video that was posted and every video that was taken, and even from side stage, which you really can't hear anything because you're not in front of the speakers, it still sounds good. So that's who Q is, basically.
That's pretty great.
You know, I love me some Joel. He's awesome.
Joel's amazing.
Absolutely.
We love Joel.
You know, I have this quote. I'll tell you this one. I just want to add to that, you know.
Chaz, are you sure?
Oh, yeah. You know,
because the past few times you've done this, it hasn't
made
any sense. Well,
I love Taylor. And you know, I always have to throw a quote in from Taylor.
Okay.
So this quote from Taylor Swift just says, whenever you walk on stage in front of 65,000 people, it can bring you to tears.
That's it? So what did that have
to
do?
Yeah, it's just like a full circle moment.
Mm. Where'd you get that from?
Can you not Can you not relate to that?
How do you just rattle those off the top of your
head? Oh, because I just, I watch so many. She's my hobby.
She's your hobby?
Right, yeah. So I watch a lot of videos on quotes and everything like
that.
Yeah.
That's
but do you do you guys understand?
She's your hobby. How you end up on a list on the internet. Someone's your hobby.
Okay. No, not way. Just like, I love her music. You know?
Yeah, he's a little obsessed with Taylor Swift, so.
I'll tell you what, but we have her on the podcast one day.
Well,
I'm gonna retire. I'm gonna retire.
After you have her on the podcast, that'll be the end.
Probably.
That's weird.
Probably.
Well, Chaz, and I'll be cheering you on, you know, every step of the way until you get to there, if you get there, of course.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Lakeda, do you have any last remarks? Or Q, do you have any last remarks?
Yes, I do. Q, what's next for you? And where can the people like find... You got to tell us about like your company. Like, what's the website? Where can they find you on Instagram? And how do we direct our listeners to what you do?
Well, I mean, I have social media, just like everybody else. My handle is just Quentin Kelly.
Yeah.
And
he's got the blue Instagram.
Right, yes. Do I?
Man, I don't know if I'm that cool, but yeah, my Instagram has stuff from all the different shows that I've done. A lot of, well, most of them, some of them not. If you're a Jordan Feliz fan, Jordan's my boy. He's my buddy for a long time. There are videos and pictures from some of our road adventures and things all over that with me and the boys. So that's fun stuff. There's stuff from David as well, and my days with Sidewalk Prophets and Winter Jam and other miscellaneous gigs. Live Your Sound has a website. It's just liveyoursound.com, and if you go there now, we're starting a podcast as well, and we hope to have the Escape on it.
Hey,
we hope to do that.
Hey, I'm down.
And like I kind of said, I mean, the goal is really just to unite and connect people and, you know, help them reach their highest potential. So that's really where it's at. So there's those two places to check me out if you should want to do so. But yeah, I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, Q. And you can find all of that in the podcast description to all of our listeners out there. We love Q. We're so grateful for him.
Absolutely. And Q, yes. if you want me to come on the podcast too one day, I'm more than free.
No, he doesn't want that.
I've had a lot of experience in this game.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to get back to you.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
That's great.
Well, Chaz, do you want to close this out in a freestyle rap?
Freestyle? I think we should. You know, that's how I've been doing it, so I'm just going to close this out with a little freestyle.
Just go for it.
Chaz the rapper dropping the beat!
Chaz is back and he's running out of rhymes. One big picture while I think of more. I know you got the time. I'm shaking like Megan, really feeling the beat. Can't stop me now cause I'm all over Pete. Make sure you tune in for the next podcast, because I'm